We're very glad to be here with you all again, and it's just a privilege to be able to talk to other people who are interested in things that God wants. You know, this whole thing of being able to homeschool your children is such a privilege. It would have been nice if I could have been homeschooled, but that was not understood as the thing to do back in those days. You know, my wife and I were unlikely candidates for homeschooling. Just to give you a little idea, we thought that sending your child to school was the normal thing to do. I mean, that's what our parents did for us. And, for example, I went to a Christian day school for grades 1 to 6, and then a public school for grade 7, and a Christian high school for 8 through 10, and a public school for grade 11, and a Christian boarding school for grade 12. And I went to a Christian college for a year and a secular college for a couple years, and I went to graduate school and university for a couple years. And I taught math, music, and Bible at a Christian high school, part-time for a couple years and full-time for 3 years. And I figured I would just be a career teacher. And my wife, Rhoda, went to a Christian school for grades 1 to 8, and then a public school for grades 9 to 11, and then she went to a college for over a year, and she taught elementary school for 3 years before we were married. So for us, school was just the normal and right thing to do, and we didn't give it a second thought. But the Lord, in His mercy, propelled us into homeschool. There was nothing else for us to do, and I'm sure you're wondering what that was. Well, when our oldest child was quite small, Rhoda was just showing her some things about, letters on the blocks. And she learned the alphabet, and Rhoda taught her a few sounds. And then she was taking these letters and putting them on the refrigerator, these magnetic letters, and saying, "I'm making words." Well, they weren't really words. It was just letters strung together. But Rhoda thought, well, if you want to read, I'll teach you how to read. So anyway, she started teaching her how to read. And it turned out that she began reading very early. She began reading when she was about 2. And so by the time she was 5 or 6, her reading level was pretty high. And I got to thinking, what will we do with this child? Send him off to regular school? Because it would bore them to death to have to go through Dick and Jane or something equivalent to that and, you know, layer after layer of that. So we thought of various things to do. Well, maybe we could send her to a ACE-type school where she could take the things at her own level but still play with her own age group. And we found out that the people who were running the school didn't want to do that, that they would make her go through all those early lessons. Well, what a way to make a child hate school. We could send her to a Christian school, but we lived in the Washington, D.C. area and would have taken Rhoda 3/4 of an hour in rush hour traffic to drive the child to school and then come back home 3/4 of an hour and then could do it again. And you can see that would use up 3 hours of a day anyhow. And we weren't going to send her to public school. And I said, well, you know, Rhoda's a wonderful teacher. Why should we send the child away somewhere else for someone else to teach? So we decided to have homeschool. But we didn't know anybody personally who was homeschooling. But we felt like it was the right thing to do. It was the only thing to do. And so we started. And, you know, we hadn't homeschooled for more than 6 weeks. We realized this has advantages far beyond what we even imagined. That was in 1981. And we are still homeschooling. This year is probably the last official year of homeschooling. You know, when we began homeschooling, I told Rhoda, you know, some of your friends are going to talk about how many cans of beans they put up in the summer and how much corn they put up. I said, I don't want you to worry about it, because what you're doing is more important than canning those beans. When a person begins homeschool, it means an adjustment of thinking. And that means laying aside certain things so that she has time to really concentrate on what she needs to do. Now, after you've got the swing of it and you're into it and so on, you can add some of those back in possibly. So tonight we're going to talk about why I believe homeschool is superior. You can imagine we got lots of flack as beginning homeschoolers. I mean, this was unknown practically, and people thought we were crazy. I remember one of my relatives saying something about, you know, something about me, and he just said right to my face, you know, that you know, that's not the only crazy thing you've tried to do or decided to do or whatever. But we felt like it was the thing God wanted us to do, and we felt like it was right, and we saw many advantages of it. And so a lot of people would complain, well, you know, you're not really doing the best for your child, or you're not this and you're not that, and what about their social development and all kinds of questions. First of all, I believe that it is possible to be a lazy person and pretend to have homeschool. Did you notice how I worded that? Pretend to have homeschool, where you're not really teaching anything. You're just saying, well, we have homeschool, and we're just expecting them to sort of learn by osmosis, and we just do stuff as a family. I don't call that school. School is where you decide to devote yourself to helping the child learn things that he needs to know. But if you devote yourself to helping your child learn, homeschool is far superior to the other methods. And I say this not only in terms of homeschool compared to public school, but homeschool compared to Christian school. I say that having gone to both public and Christian schools myself and having taught in Christian school. First of all, it is spiritually superior. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says that you shall love the Lord the God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And you shall do what? Teach them diligently to your children when you do what? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, that really is the kind of situation you're in if you're in homeschool. Because you have opportunity to in and out in various activities be teaching God's word. And that includes things like formal family devotions. But I think it includes much more than that. It includes informal discussions. And you're looking for opportunities to have informal discussions with your children. You know, something comes up and you'll say, what do you think about that? Or did you hear what that person said? You know, is that thing that they said really true? Does it always hold? You're getting them to think about things. Homeschool is where you can help your child learn what Christ has done. Colossians 1, verses 16 to 18. You know, Christ is preeminent. He's preeminent in creation. He's preeminent in history. He's preeminent in the church. And so you can help your child understand that Christ is the center of things. Homeschool is superior because it is spiritually superior because your child will get his values from his parents instead of from his peers. You know, in general, the school setting is a place where your child descends to the lowest common denominator of ignorance. I mean, okay, let's get together and be with our buddies and let's hear what you think and what you like and where are they getting their values? In many ways, it's right there from their own age group among other people who really are needing to be taught. You see, when you're teaching your children at home, you can teach them that right is normal. You know, we've lived subnormal for so long that when somebody begins to approach normal, people think it's abnormal. And I think we need to start living in a different kind of way. For example, it is normal and right to say please when you want something. Would you pass me the potatoes, please? Or meat, please. Not, give me the meat. Hurry. And you see, if you have that kind of atmosphere at home all the time, you're not doing it just for guests. You're not doing it just when company comes. Your littlest children will grow up and understand that please is part of the language. The language won't sound right. Now, obviously, there may be some times you need to work on it. But in general, if you have that kind of atmosphere, it won't feel quite right to omit the word please. You get your children have values from you instead of from their peers, where things like they don't mind wearing hand-me-down clothes or things from garage sales. They don't have to have the designer clothes with a certain kind of tag on the inside of the shirt. And furthermore, they get their values from their parents instead of their peers in terms of not learning rubbish behind the washroom door that you have to unlearn. That's so important. It's just a matter of fact that if you send your child off to school, he will mingle with other children whose parents have values far below the ones you have. And that's true whether it's a Christian school or whether it's a public school. Also, you run the risk when you send your child away of having the teacher steal away his heart. You know, a skilled teacher is going to generate tremendous rapport with the students. And that's good. You want the students and the teacher to have rapport with each other. But if that teacher's philosophy and understanding of life is contrary to the scriptures, then that's going to tend to pull the child's heart away from that. Homeschool is superior because you have complete control of the curriculum. You know, if you look at the curriculum that is being used in public school, you'll find you have things like evolution, promotion of witchcraft, distrust of parents, promotion of what they call alternate lifestyles. Anybody know what that means? Sexual perversion is what it means. And so you have all these things, you know, and some of it is quite subtle. You know, well, here's a family and it has two daddies in it. You know, stuff like that. As if that were some kind of normal thing instead of it being grotesquely abnormal. Another reason homeschool is superior is because it enables you as a parent to identify problems in your child early and deal with them while they're simple. You see, if you send your child off to school, there are going to be things that happen in the playground that probably the teacher doesn't even know about. There will be things that happen that she can't have her eyes everywhere at once. There will be things that maybe she might see happen, but she has so many other things to deal with, and she's had an encounter with a parent that was a little bit unhappy at the last PTF meeting, and so she's not going to make an issue of that one. You know, there will be things happening with your child where the child is choosing something not the best, and you'll never know about it until that thing has grown into a horrible weed that's hard to root out. I mean, for example, children are naturally unkind. Have you found that so? You know, that somebody has a little big nose, and they'll start doing what? Let's call him Big Nose. Big Nose. Here comes Big Nose. Now, what if that child is your child and he's at home and he says that about his little sister? Here comes Big Nose. You hear it very quickly and you can deal with it very promptly and help that child realize, you know what, it is not fun to make fun of somebody else. It is also superior because the interactions you have with your child when he is little gives you a greater platform for later crisis events. You see, if you're sending your child off to school, very often that child will have a sweet relationship with his first grade teacher. You know why? Because that first grade teacher is a substitute mother. That's really what it amounts to. So he has a sweet relationship with her. Now let's suppose another 10 years go by and he's about 15 or 16 years old and that child is going through a crisis of some kind. Where is that relationship with his first grade teacher? It's practically non-existent. But if you've been homeschooling all those years, you're building bridges in the first grade and the second grade and the third grade and fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th grade or whatever. And now he's going through a crisis. You have a much bigger platform from which to operate. You know your child much better. You understand him much better, and he understands you. Homeschool is also superior because it gives you flexibility for ministry. Some of you may know that Our family moved to New York City to be part of a church planting effort when we had 7 children. And we lived in a townhouse that had a front yard that was 6 feet square. And the backyard was the width of the townhouse, which was about 15 feet wide, something like that. And I don't remember how long it was, maybe 20 or 25. The last year we were there, we never even mowed it. The children kept it trampled down. You know, I wouldn't have considered going there with my family unless we had homeschooled. But because we homeschooled, we could have a safe haven for our family. And we could participate in that ministry and help in that church planting effort. And then, of course, another thing that happened to us, we got involved in this traveling ministry back about 87. We began, 87. Our oldest child was about 12 years old when we began this traveling ministry. Now, if you'd been going to a regular school, imagine the difficulty. But when we were involved in this ministry, it wasn't just that I would go off and have meetings somewhere. Most of the time, we would be going as a family, and I would be going to, we'd be going to churches in a geographical sequence, so we wouldn't be running so much. So that means we might be gone for, on these trips, we view a month trip as being a relatively short trip. Ordinarily, it's maybe 2 months. Some trips have lasted almost 4 months. Well, you can imagine that if you were sending your children to a regular school, that would just be unfeasible. But it was important for them to be with us, because I have seen too many men who go off preaching for weeks on end at various times and places, and the children are raised by the mother, and it doesn't turn out well. And you know, having the children along was an important part of the ministry, because we would often sing some songs, and the children would recite a passage, maybe. We would stay in people's homes. And so it wasn't just that I appeared in the pulpit and then disappeared into a motorhome. We were there interacting with the people, and the people saw what our children were like and saw how we dealt with stuff. But not only was it good for them to participate in the ministry, they were actually participating in the ministry, but it was good for them to hear the ministry too. Because there were times that I faced antagonistic audiences. And so after the meeting, or maybe in the meeting, somebody would raise questions. Okay, how's Dad going to answer that question? In fact, one of my children said at one point that when she was at a place far from home and she encountered many discussions on all kinds of spiritual topics, she said that every time there was a question that she was asked, she knew the answer because of sermons she had heard or debates. And so that whole thing became instructive. Now what happened, of course, as we did this, you can imagine it was difficult to keep up academically, because we would maybe drive most of the day, have a program that night, get up and drive the next day, be at another place, and then maybe go someplace where we'd be there for 5 days. So you could have homeschool on a more regular basis in the mornings when you're at one place. And so we would tend to get behind academically. We'd have to make up that time. But then there were compensating things that our children learned by being on the road. They had a geographical education that was quite impressive. And they learned to interact with a wide variety of people. Different churches that do things in different ways. And you know, I believe one of the things we ought to be able to do is have more fellowship across some what are truly minor differences. And so can we say, well, these people are people of God, and those over there are also people of God, and we can profit from each other. Homeschool is also academically superior. There are some teacher advantages. You have a superb teacher ratio, by the way. I mean, if you have, 8 children, that's still a lot better than many school classrooms, isn't it? One teacher for 8 children. And many homeschoolers are not teaching that many at once anyway. And furthermore, who knows the student better and loves them more than their own mother? What kind of advantage is that? That's quite an advantage. You see, from that standpoint, A 35-year-old mother has an advantage over a 19-year-old teacher in terms of the knowledge of the students and love for them. Furthermore, sending your child to school will almost guarantee that they will sit under some worthless teachers. How many of you have ever had a worthless teacher in school? Anybody? You know, it never fails when I ask that question. There are people in the audience that raise their hands. So don't be intimidated. Don't say to yourself, well, I can't teach. Some of the teachers that you send your children to school to, they can't teach either. Just remember that and be comforted. Now, that doesn't mean you should be lazy. But what I'm saying is, it's so easy for people to be intimidated by these things. You know, in Luke chapter 6, verse 40, Jesus said, a student will become like his master. It doesn't say the student will become like the master teaches him. The student will become like his master. That's important to remember. Because the student will become like the one he is really following. By the way, that's one of the reasons you need to be careful who you listen to in a spiritual sense as well. Sometimes there are people who think, well, this person is really a great teacher, but his character is bad. Watch out. Because as you observe what's happening, you'll find that the people who follow his teaching emulate his character also. One of the advantages that you have academically of sending your child to yourself instead of sending him off to school is that in too many cases when a child is sent to school, he may be stigmatized and characterized as being dumb, stupid. You know, this is the slow learner class, and here are the advanced learners, and these are the special needs children. You know, at homeschool, if you have children of differing abilities, they don't necessarily know how wide that disparity is because they're at different levels anyway. I'm saying they don't necessarily know. Sometimes they will find out, but it's not so starkly put. And even if a child finds out that he is a 8-year-old can read better than the 10-year-old, the parent can deal with that and say, look, you have to understand this person has some special gifts too, but they have a struggle in that area, so you must never lord it over them because of that. In other words, the parent can be dealing with it. And that relates to another academic advantage, and that is you can tailor the school to the individual needs of your student. You can work with slower or gifted students. You know, if you have a really gifted child, what you do is just keep shoving them the work. You know, if you're able to do second grade work in half the time, well, do it in half the time, and now you're in third grade. And if you can do that in half the time, well, do it fine, and then you can be in fourth grade. And if a person is struggling with reading, for example, maybe you have a child that has dyslexia. We've had some children that had dyslexia, you know, where they mix up the order of the letters. That means you have to struggle with them and work a lot harder to get them to read. And you can take the time to do it. You can also capitalize on special interests or gifts that would be impossible in a regular school. I'll give you an example. When our three oldest children were about 9, 7, and 5, something like that, there was a man who was offering a free course for children in French. And I thought it would be better if they learned Spanish. Sorry, Quebec. Because there are more Spanish speakers in the world, it'd be more useful, you know, in missions and so on, to learn Spanish. But I thought, well, it won't hurt anything if they learn French. So we let them go to the class. And our oldest child really enjoyed that class. Just ate it up. So after she was in that class for a year, I went to this man who was the teacher, and he was a professor of a college that was close to our house. And I said, I'd like to do an experiment. I'd like for her to come into your class and sit in your class and see what she can learn. He said, yes. He'd be willing to do that. So that's what we did. Now, can you imagine me pulling that off if my child was in a regular school? And this brother is the principal. And so I say, my child at age 10 or 11, would like to be excused from school for 2 hours to walk over to this other school and sit in the college French class and then, you know, come back when that's done. What's he liable to face? Well, some other child wants to go, you know, do something else. And some other child wants to do something else. And how can you run your school? You can see how it would be next to impossible. But that was wonderful because it was a special opportunity. She sat in that class for 2 years and did wonderfully in French. And incidentally, you know how the Lord enables you to do things that you wouldn't have known enough to do about. See, we were just feeling our way and doing what opportunity came to us. Turned out that when she was 18 years old, she went to Ivory Coast to live with a Wycliffe couple to get initiated into Bible translation, and the national language was French. So she already knew French, and she could go start learning the tribal language. So you see, the Lord knew that, and so even though I didn't know any better and thought it'd be good if she learned Spanish, she learned French. But in the meantime, she had an opportunity to learn Spanish anyway. So what I'm saying is, homeschool is a wonderful place where you can seize opportunities when they appear on your doorstep. And then, of course, you can adjust the curriculum whenever necessary. That's a wonderful advantage. You know, if something doesn't turn out right, you can just say, oh, that book wasn't the best book after all, so I'm going to get another. Homeschool is academically superior because you can teach the joy of learning. I'm just curious, how many of you that went to a regular school really enjoyed history class? Okay, a few people did. You're fortunate. A lot of people don't, because it was just like a long list of facts and dates and, you know, boring. I remember when I went to school, we had American history. And so it started out with, you know, Columbus discovering America and Magellan and Ponce de Leon and those fellows that were trying to find the Fountain of Youth and all that stuff. And the colonists came over, and then you have the Revolutionary War and the French and Indian War and on and on and on. And then you get up to about the Civil War, and the year was over. The next year, we started with American history. Columbus discovered America. Again. Oh, it was boring. Well, you know, one of the things my wife did, she read to the children the book called The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. And they became so interested in what was happening during World War II that they decided to write a novel about Jews fleeing from Hitler. Now, if you have children that are, you know, 8 or maybe 9, 7 and 5 or 9 and 7, whatever, and they're the two oldest children were the ones that were going to write this novel. And if they're writing a novel, how are they going to write a novel about World War II? They've got to go to the library and get books about the battles, about what Hitler was doing, about what happened to Jews, about the concentration camps, about the military machine, about how people were escaping from places. And all that stuff goes into the kind of background information you need to write a novel about Jews escaping from Hitler. Guess what's happening? They're doing that because they're having fun doing it. They're not doing it because they have to. That was just extra stuff they did on their spare time. And then, of course, the facts of history and the dates just sort of fell in place automatically without even trying to know it. You remember that Hitler marched into Poland in 1939. Homeschool is academically superior because it is an effective use of time. You avoid busy work. By the way, you can choose to avoid busy work. You know, some homeschoolers give their children loads of busy work. Don't give them busy work. You know, give them assignments that are useful and that stimulate the mind and get them to think. You see, in homeschool, if a child understands after 5 minutes of instruction, then he can start doing his homework right away. He doesn't have to sit through another 45 minutes of class that is just a waste of his time. And then that means that in the afternoon, he has time to develop his own creative interests. Furthermore, homeschool is superior because it enables you to develop the skill of independent study. That is so important. To be able to realize, I need to have some information about that subject. Where can I go find it? And then how can I test the information I have to make sure it's correct? That's what independent study really is. Also, homeschool is superior socially. This is the most common question we got. Yes, but what about their social development? You know, people didn't argue with us too hard about fears that we would not have the ability to teach our children, but they were concerned about their social development. You know what? That is my favorite question. I love it. If you send your child to school, you're sending him to an undependable environment. Now, I'll give you an example from my wife's childhood. She went to an elementary school and had a wonderful experience. She had a younger sister, 1 year younger, went to the same school, had the same teachers, and had a horrible experience. You know what made the difference? The class she was in. In other words, the students in the class made the difference. What I'm saying is, when you send your child off to school, you're sending your child to an undependable environment. Secondly, it's socially superior because homeschool eliminates foolish peer pressure. You know, the pressure for designer clothes, the pressure to participate in sin. Now, obviously, your children can team up and say, hey, let's go do this, and they know better. There could be some of that. But, you know, you're right on the situation day after day after day, and it's much less likely to spiral into huge difficulties. Foolish peer pressure erupts in school because one person makes fun of a little child or one that's slow in class or one that can't hit the ball. And what happens? The rest jump on the bandwagon. Homeschool is superior socially because it's a great place to teach servanthood. Let me give you an example. You know, we had a homeschool, and so you might have five children that are playing together, and they go outside to play tag. If the oldest child runs as fast as possible, what's going to happen to the game? The game is ruined, right? It's no fun. But think about it. Which is more fun? Is it more fun to escape from a two-year-old or to see the joy on his face when he catches you? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Or how about if you're trying to catch a two-year-old? You're careful how you do it so you don't knock him over. You see what's happening? The fellowship of the game is more important than the game. Now that is so important. Don't you wish people in church would have learned that? That the fellowship of the game is more important than the game. You see what's happening there? As they play their games, they have to watch out for the weaker ones. You know, it's interesting to watch if you have a family reunion, and it's a family reunion of homeschoolers, how they play after the meal is eaten. They go out to play softball. What happens? All bunches of ages are playing. And so, when it's the six-year-old's turn to bat, what happens? 10-year-old comes up, and he helps him hold the bat, and he's standing sort of around him like this. And the pitcher comes up to about 7 feet, you know, in front of the batter, and throws him the nicest, easy pitch he can. Hit it, you know, hits it, and he just goes dribble, dribble, dribble. Say, run, get on base. You see, that's that fellowship of the game again. But, you know, if the goal is, well, we've got to get the right players on our team so that we can win, and we don't want that guy over there because he's not a good player, and, you know, he's picked up last all the time, and get those little kids out of here, they're ruining our game. That's the way that 16 through 25-year-old boys talk, right? You see, the fellowship of the game, watching out for the weaker ones. You know, in homeschool, you learn servanthood in order to make the thing work. It's also servanthood in terms of having time to contribute to the family. That's one of the parasitic effects of school. You get on the bus or you get in your carpool or whatever and you leave at, what, 8 o'clock in the morning or 8:30, depending on how far away you are from school. And you're there from 9 till 3 and then you got to come home yet. And the children are sick of being cooped up in their desks. And so they don't have time to help their mother get supper ready. And it's just like, it's a parasitic drain. One of the things we need to do is have our children learn what a privilege it is to be a participant in the family and a servant of the family. And you see, homeschool is an environment that enables us to build family relationships. It enables you to work out personal clashes. Sometimes we've talked to parents and they say, I couldn't homeschool. I clash with my child too much. You know something? Then you better homeschool so that you can work that out. Because those flaws will erupt with a vengeance in later years. What about clashes between siblings? You know, right there you have the opportunity to work it out. When you send your child off to school, he begins to say things like, well, there's nobody my age to play with. But if you have homeschool, he's used to playing with all ages anyway. And so let's suppose he is unkind to his younger sister and wants to ignore her and just play with his friend. You know what you can do? You can say, okay, you need to do something special for your sister. Something that she would like to play. And maybe take one of her chores yet besides. And find out it's wonderful to have fellowship. It builds family relationships because moving does not mean changing schools and losing your friends. You know, if you have homeschool and you need to move to a new location, your school moves right with you. And your children don't feel like, oh, well, I can't have any fun now because all my friends are gone. In fact, sending your child to an ordinary school will automatically tend to fragment your family. It'll tend to put pressure for fragmentation. And by the way, that can also happen when you have homeschool and you say, well, we'll have this person teach music and we'll have this person teach the math and we'll have this time for volleyball time with all the homeschoolers getting together. You start doing that kind of stuff and you tend to get fragmented as well. Homeschool is wonderful because it's an environment for the interaction of a wide span of ages. You know, children in homeschools aren't complaining if visitors don't include anybody that's exactly their age because they're used to playing with older and younger ones. And by the way, homeschool is socially superior because it enables you to naturally direct who their friends are. If you send your child off to school, you lose control of that because the child gravitates to whoever he happens to gravitate toward. But in homeschool, you can say, you know what? There's a family over there that really has the ideals we do, and they're teaching their children to respect and honor their parents and respect and honor each other. That's the kind of environment I want my children to play with. And so you just go visit them more often than you visit some other folks. And so to the question, well, since you homeschool, aren't you concerned about their social development? The answer is, yes, I am. And that's why I homeschool. There's also some practical superiority, and that is you can have projects of enduring value. For example, a couple of our children wrote a book called Word of God, Priceless Treasure when they were 16 and 18 years old, where it's three missionary stories, and they illustrated it with pencil drawings. And I was going to bring one along this evening to show you, but I forgot. It's in the car. Maybe I can bring it tomorrow. And so it was not just a project. It was something that has been a blessing to many people as it's been distributed. One of our children, when he was 12 years old, made a wooden train, which he gave to his younger siblings. So you see, he was making that thing out of hand tools, so he had the practice of doing it. But also it was something that was appreciated by the younger children and was a bond builder between them. And besides, one of the practical values of homeschool is that the mother can get more stuff done. Does that surprise you? Rhoda's going to tell you more about that tomorrow. But There was a time when we had homeschool and lived in Indiana, and she thought, since we had to send our children to the public school to have them given achievement tests, and we knew some of the teachers that they were Christians, and so they said, well, you can just let them stay in school during the whole day. So Rhoda thought, okay, we'll let them have that experience. And she thought, I'll get a lot done while they're gone. Well, after the first day or two, she just could hardly wait till that week was over, because she had to haul them to school, and, well, she had to get them up, get them ready, haul them to school, come back home. Then she had to take care of the baby, do everything by herself, and then go get them from school. When she came back home, she realized, you know, they'd been cooped up in school all day, so let them run out and play. So she was fixing supper by herself, and then it was time to have supper, then time to have devotions, then time to get to bed so you can get your rest, so that you can get up and give your achievement test tomorrow. And it was a grind. And you know what? During that time, the children didn't have time to pursue their creative interests. They didn't have time to devote themselves to study like they could when they were at home. And so she actually got less done, and the children were missing out as well. Another practical advantage of homeschool is you escape the germ distribution center. It's called school. You know, this little child, he's coming down with the measles, and nobody knows it, but he wipes his hand across his nose and you know, hugs this other little child and you know, just one thing and another, and before long that child goes home and gives the measles to his baby brother. It's a germ distribution center. You know, we didn't homeschool for that reason. It was not that we decided, well, I think we'll homeschool because we're afraid of germs. But we noticed when we began homeschooling, and after a while we noticed, you know what, our children don't get sick as often as other people's children in the church. Well, there's a reason. Some people have objections to homeschool. Like, I've heard this one. Well, my church has a school and we want to support its ministry. How about if your church was running an orphanage? Would you want to support its ministry? You see, you could support the church's ministry in a school without sending your child there. Someone says, well, I don't know enough to teach my children. The answer is, begin when they're little. You know, teach them to read. Anybody can teach elementary school. If you can read, you can teach them. And you can marshal them to teach you. You know, get your children to learning something and they really enjoy it, and then they can tell you about what they've learned. Some people say, well, I don't have time. Everybody has time to do whatever they think is important. You know, it's true that some people are not terribly concerned about the education their child receives. They'd rather just send their child off to school and hope for the best, and then they have free time to do other things. Well, not everybody can teach their children. You know, you can teach your children if you really want to. If you can't teach your children, talk to God about it. See what He has to say. Now, there may be special circumstances where temporarily you would not be able to. For example, if there's a death in the family, it might be that you can't do it right then. Or just imagine us living in New York City. What if you convert someone off the street in May? Do you suppose they're ready to homeschool by September? I sort of doubt it. Or sometimes you have a situation where a mother can hardly read. So I can see that how a church could have a ministry having a church school, but have it not as a substitute parent, but have the parent involved so that they're learning how to do this, so that this church school is working themselves out of a job. So the goal is for the parent to be doing this so that they can be building these bonds between them and their child. Somebody might ask this question. Well, what if a mother has only a third grade education? Can she still teach reading? And the answer is, yes, she can. If she can read at all, she can teach reading. How do we know? Let me read you a story. Frank Laubach born in 1884 and lived to 1970, was a missionary who worked in the Philippines and whose life passion was teaching people to read. He began a very successful literacy program among the Moro people in Lanao, but just as it started to take off, the Depression hit in the U.S. and he had no more funds to run a literacy program. He was devastated as he anticipated the collapse of the fledgling literacy campaign, but then Kakai Dagalangit, the local chief, came to see him. This campaign, announced Kakai Dagalangit, shall not stop for lack of money. It is the only hope for our people. Therefore, everyone who has learned to read will be required to teach someone else. Failure to do so will be a capital offense. The new rule will be each one teach one or die. Laubach was amused, but he saw in a flash what a good idea it was. Not only would the method increase literates exponentially, but by teaching someone else, it would reinforce in each new reader's mind all that he had just learned and greatly increase his fluency. The campaign in the Philippines was fabulously successful. From then on, Laubach conducted literacy campaigns based on the new model, and to this day, each one teach one, he dropped the or die part, is the motto of the Laubach method used all over the world. So you see, if somebody who didn't even have books, and once they learn to read, can teach one, then we who have had books down through the years can teach one also. Someone else may ask the question, well, what about sports? That's one of the great advantages of homeschool. Are you surprised? Homeschool, by its very nature, militates against sports. See, I don't mind if my boys come to somebody's house and they have a basketball net and they throw the basketball up there and dribble the ball and some of that. But you know, they aren't spending hours and hours and hours of their time drilling with other young boys their age so that they can get on the team, so that they can be doing like you do sports in a school. You know what the devil wants our children to do? In their teenage years, he wants them to waste their life learning a worthless skill like basketball, soccer, football. Any others? I was seeing if you would mention one from Canada. Anyway, you know, what do people do with those skills when they're 35? They complain about their knees hurting or their teeth half knocked out. And what can they do with them? Teach other boys to waste their life doing that. And you see, homeschool by its very nature doesn't really work for highly competitive kind of sports games. That's actually an advantage. You know what you should have your children doing instead? Learning to sing like a choir. And you say, well, I can't do that. Well, you can have them all learn to sing in unison, in tune. That's beautiful. And as you do that, they'll learn teamwork. And they'll learn skill. And they'll learn something that is useful not only at the moment, but 20, 30 years later, it is still useful. Well, those are some things that reasons I believe that homeschool is very much superior to public school or Christian school. Maybe some of you have some comments or questions you would like to make. Anyone? Tomorrow evening we're going to talk about what we do in our homeschool and why we do it. We're not saying everybody has to do it exactly like us. We're just saying here's some of the things we did, here's why we do what we do, and maybe you'll be able to glean some ideas that are useful to you. Anybody want to make a comment? Lord bless you.